Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
About 45 minutes into this movie, why are we watching this? This is not a monster movie.
45 minutes? Try like the first four.
An hour into this movie, there still was no monster. I realize that. But a monster does make an appearance. Manda, sure? Who will reappear in the Godzilla franchise
a
couple times.
2 minutes it appeared.
Yeah, for about 2 minutes of screen. About 4 to 5
probably like four time. Or five, yeah.
So it counts, kind of.
Kind of.
Does it?
And it is a Toho sci-fi film, which, you know, gives it some leeway.
It had a flying submarine.
Yeah.
Anyway, what movie are we talking about today?
Talking about the film Atragon. Mm-hmm. Alternate titles. The Japanese title is directly translated to The Undersea Warship. International title, Atragon. German title, I love the German title, U-2000 Warlords of Horror.
Perfect.
Spanish title, Agent 04 of the Submerged Empire, even though the only agent we meet is Agent 23, so that doesn't really make sense. Mexican title was Atragon Atomic Submarine, even though I don't think it was atomic, but we'll roll with
whatever.
It. So we watched the dubbed version of this film on the Tokyo Shock release. The dubbing, I'm going to go ahead and say...
Oh, it's terrible.
It was pretty bad. But,
we have pictures.
But, with that quick tidbit out of the way, general making of this movie is loosely based on the novels The Undersea Warship by Shunro Oshikawa and The Undersea Kingdom by Shigeru Komatsusaki. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds right. Manda was included in the film because of the insistence of producer Tomoyuki Tanaka, who was obviously loved monsters. Tetsuo Kobayashi actually applied the Empress Mu makeup herself.
Good for her.
I'm
happy for her.
There was only about 4.5 months from the start of production to this film being released in theaters, so they rushed this thing
and
hardcore.
It shows.
And the budget was a little tight from what I've read. Released in America by American International Pictures, AIP. And in 1982, this film became Toho's first tokusatsu film to be released on home video.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, record-breaking. Box office, this movie was released in Japan on on December 22nd, 1963.
It's another Christmas movie.
Keeping
with the tradition.
Made 175 million yen. It was the 13th highest grossing film of Japan in 1963. So moderate success. Leased to AIP for $180,000 along with the film Samurai Pirate. Released in the U.S. on March 11th of 1965. U.S. box office, I couldn't find it, although it did say that it performed well in the U.S., but I didn't see a specific number, so... Oh, well.
Mm.
But we are going to watch the trailer.
We're not
going to
watch anything.
I'm sorry. We're going to listen to the trailer. If I find the trailer that was on the bonus features of this, it actually has the Godzilla theme when Manda shows up in the trailer.
Gotta get butts in the seats, right?
Yep. I did not pick the wrong trailer. If you hear the Godzilla theme, it is the trailer for this movie. I promise. So, we're going to watch the trailer, and we'll be back. I will read off the cast and crew. Dylan will read off a haphazardly put together plot summary, and we'll get rolling. So, see you in a minute.
Kaitei はそういうエネルギーを持った人間が現れたっていうんですか。
そうです。しかも問題はこの物騒な人間が全世界に派遣されているということです。
あなたは知ってるはずです。神宮寺大佐の特別任務をね。
海底軍艦はただいまよりムー帝国撃滅のため出現します。
太平洋上にかつて繁栄したムー帝国の地上復活への野望なるか。
マンダの生贄にせよ。
海底軍艦は無用の長物だと言われるんですか。
海底軍艦は決して無駄ではない。世界がそれを必要としとる。
どうだ。よ、これが目に入らないか。
ムー帝国の基地深く潜航した攻撃隊の決死的奇襲なるか。
神宮寺、無駄な抵抗はやめよ。ムー帝国に勝てるつもりか。
潜航用意。
向こうよ、急ぐ。
海に、陸に、そして大空に、縦横無尽に駆け巡る海底軍艦の行くところ敵なし。東方が送る世紀の冒険科学巨編、海底軍艦、海底軍艦にご期待ください。
All right, we're back. Again, a few familiar names on this cast list.
No way.
Directed by Ishiro Honda. Written by Shinichi Sekizawa. Music by Akira Fukube. And effects by Eiji Tsuburaya.
Man, I've never heard any of those names.
Right? And then starring Jun Tazaki, Tadeo Takashima, Yoko Fujiyama, Ken Yuhara, Yu Fujiki, Kenji Sahara, Hiroshi Kazumi, Akahiko Hirata, Hideo Amamoto, and Tetsuko Kobayashi.
Ooh, some names.
Some names. So what was the plot, kind of? This is very, very high-level plot right here.
Are we prepared?
Yes.
Okay. When the Mu Empire threatens to destroy the world, it is up to former Navy Rear Admiral Kasumi and the young woman he has raised, Makoto, to find Captain Jinguji, Makoto's father. Jinguji has built a powerful submarine called the Gotengo, the only ship in the world capable of taking on the Mu Empire. Kasumi and Makoto find the captain on an isolated island, but he is hesitant to use his warship against the Mu. He claims he built it only for the glory of Japan, and he cannot accept that World War II is over and Japan lost. But after much begging from Makoto, Jinguji changes his mind and he takes the Gotengo down to the Mu Empire. After a quick battle with Manda, the snake-like god of the Mu, the Gotengo breaches the city of Mu and freezes it, which leads to the Empire's destruction.
Yeah, I left out a couple of subplots, but...
Like it matters.
We'll talk about them briefly.
Not like it matters.
So, this film, interestingly enough, was renamed Atragon when it was brought over for international release by AIP. But they never... Unless I missed it, they never refer to the submarine as Atragon.
Never.
They call it the Gotengo. So, that's why I call it the Gotengo in my plot summary. That's what it will be called in Godzilla Final Wars when it reappears. The Gotengo. This film is... how should I say it? This film is interestingly put together. So, the first 30 minutes...
This movie's terrible.
They obviously had a very rushed production, and clearly, they had a very low budget.
Clearly.
After, you know, at the beginning we see Agent 23, who is played by Akihiko Hirata. He's kidnapping people to go be slaves of the Mu Empire. And then once the Mu Empire reveals its plan or whatever, kind of in a similar fashion that the Exilians revealed their plan in Invasion of Astro Monster, they mail a tape to somebody and reveal their plans. So there's like some montages like of newspaper headlines talking about how they've destroyed, leveled Hong Kong and...
Venice.
I'm like, that's the movie I wanted to see. Them leveling these cities. We do get to see them level one city later. But they didn't have the budget to do that. So instead we just get this all in montage form. And instead we get this very slow plot about this guy, this Admiral Kazumi, who was Jinguji's commander during World War II. And he let after Jinguji failed to obey an order, and instead of like embarrassing him with a court martial and everything, he decided to let him go. And apparently he's thought all these years that Jinguji is dead. He's obviously not. And he's been raising Jinguji's daughter, Makoto, all these years.
Because?
Whatever. So he figures out because they've found this guy that's been following Makoto around, but he is, his name was, this guy, I think his name was Yoshido Nishibi or something, who works for Jinguji or whatever. So anyway, they go to the island. The Gotengo does not actually show up in this movie until the 46-minute mark. So we have 46 minutes of basically these people just... We occasionally meet an agent of Mu. They wear these funky scuba diving outfits, silver scuba diving outfits. They kidnap some people, but really nothing really much happens. And then in the 46-minute mark, we finally see the Gotengo. But I will say a positive I will give this movie. I like the idea of the character of Jinguji, of this man who can't accept that the war is over and that Japan lost, and he has given up everything for the pride of his country and his sense of duty, even his daughter. And he wanted to build this submarine to restore the glory of Japan. Mm-hmm. And the idea of that and what you could do with that conflict of a man who is essentially a warmonger, but is still a good man at heart who just wants the best for his country. I think you could do a lot with that, but because this is only a 96-minute movie, and because it is a Toho special effects movie, we don't really focus on that much. There's some scenes where he's talking to his daughter, and his daughter's like, "You chose your country over me," or something. Or the boyfriend says, "You chose your country over your daughter," and so there's a lot of lip service to it, but they don't take it anywhere dramatically.
No, that's about the only good thing about this movie is the concept behind him. Yeah. But other than that, this movie's garbage.
Dylan did not like this movie at all.
It's not the best movie.
I will say, I did love Kenji Sahara.
It's funny seeing him with the beard.
Yeah, he had this beard on. He's like very sleazy and always is like
trying to kidnap people,
doing something sleazy. And then on the English dub, the person they have doing his voice is doing like this really deep, gravelly voice. It's kind of funny. I just love Kenji Sahara as an actor. Yeah. And I do think that Jun Tazaki as the captain, I think he does a good performance. He has some of the lines and speeches he has to give. He does a good job giving them. Overall, I don't think the performances are bad. Poor Akihiko Hirata is given the unfortunate job of playing this Agent 23, which is an agent in the movie Empire. He just has to act really cheesy, hammy, bad guy. And then when he gets to Mu, they have like the males wear these terrible, like sort of Native American.
I'd say more quasi-Egyptian.
Quasi-Egyptian outfits that just look really, really terrible.
Oh, it's bad.
But once, you know, we finally see the Gotengo and they take off and everything, but then the Mu people kidnap Jinguji's daughter and her boyfriend, and they blow up everything. There's actually a pretty cool scene where they blow up, I think, is it Tokyo? Some Japanese city they blow up.
I don't know, dude.
And we see Manda for the first time at the hour 3 mark in an hour 35-minute movie. They're going to sacrifice.
The first time it shows up is only for like a whole like 2 seconds.
Yeah, but they're going to sacrifice Makoto and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
To Manda, but Jinguji has a change of heart. He's going to go rescue his daughter and destroy the Mu Empire. So they go down there. First they fly up in the air, blow up some Mu warships. Then they dive undersea, have a quick battle with Manda.
Which is the only other time that Manda's on screen the entire movie, and it's probably 4 to 5 minutes, maybe.
And they freeze Manda. By the way, Makoto and her boyfriend have escaped at this point with some other prisoners. They have taken the Mu, Empress Mu, hostage.
The Mu Empress Mu, that's her name. She is the Empress of the Mu, and her name is Mu.
Empress Mu.
Empress Mu.
They've taken her hostage. Yeah. But they break into the Mu Empire, they freeze all the gears and everything. They go back to the surface and then it blows up. And then the Empress Mu decides she wants to die with her people. So she goes and swims into the explosion.
Swims into it.
And
that's it.
The movie ends. That's
basically the whole movie.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's not the best
movie. Oh, no, it's terrible.
It's better than some movies, I think.
It is just very, I will say this, it is just I mean, we'll talk about the effects and the flaws and the effects in 7 seconds, but
it's unbearably slow.
Story-wise, it's just very, very slow.
It is slow and it's boring.
Practically and these nothing happens.
These characters you don't care about.
There are too many characters for one thing.
Yeah.
Most of the characters, I'd say none of the characters I gave two craps and a popsicle stick.
I liked the captain.
The captain was okay.
And yeah. I like Kenji Sahara just because it's Kenji Sahara playing a bad guy.
Yeah.
I guess.
But and Akihiko Hirata is memorable because he's having to play such a terrible
But this
part.
Has some of the weirdest, like, at the beginning, like, the dialogue makes zero sense whatsoever. Like, it's just randomly thrown together. Now, granted, we're watching the English dub version of a Japanese film, so sometimes it gets lost in translation a little bit.
Yeah.
But the entire first 5 minutes, I was like, nothing anyone's saying makes any sense whatsoever. I'm like, all your words are just random things being spouted out.
I love, like, the idea.
And it's cut together weird. It's edited really weird at the very beginning. I hated it.
Tadeo Takashima's character and...
You're talking about the photographers?
The photographer and... what's the other guy's name?
Yeah, he's got a name.
Anyway, the other guy. They're like play... Like the Japanese version of Playboy photographers.
Yeah, something like that.
And they're just there's like a whole, like, looking
like
for women.
Like the first 5 minutes of the movie is like this girl like... stripped down.
They're chasing
in a
girls.
Bikini and they're
rather risque bikini for one of
taking
these
pictures of her, and then
they're chasing
and then they're
girls.
Like trying to find this other girl so they can take pictures of her. And they track her down, and one of the guys calls the other guy. He's like, and the one guy on the other end of the phone is like, you know, ask her if she'll strip down. And he's like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
that is kind of a funny plot element. It really doesn't mean anything.
Oh, it's pointless to the movie.
Yeah.
The only point, I guess, was for them to have a reason to be looking for Makoto, because they thought she was pretty and would do well in their shoot. But that's the only point of this whole thing being in the movie.
They did. But other than that, this point, this plot is terrible.
Yeah,
this story's awful.
There's a lot of unnecessary subplots and characters. But yeah, anyway. So obviously the movie's it's not that great.
Well, the next thing I guess would be creature design.
Creature design, I guess we'll say creature / vehicle design for this movie.
Okay.
So let's start with the monster in the movie, Manda.
It's got two puppets.
Yeah.
One of them is awful. The other one is pretty cool.
The puppet they use for close-ups when they're only shooting like from the head, like just and then just a
like
couple,
the first part of it. Like
first, the first part of the first segment of the body or whatever.
It's cool looking.
It's a decent
and its head. Its head is really cool. It reminds me a lot of like a
Chinese dragon.
It looks kind of like Ghidra's head in the new Godzilla film.
I do like that puppet. The puppet they use for distant
shots. It's terrible.
It's horrible.
Absolutely terrible.
It's like
it moves super weird and its eyes are goofy as all get out.
I'm sorry.
It's like they put flashlights in its eyes.
Yeah, they look like they like when it's really far away. It looks like there's flashlights in its eyes.
And usually Toho is pretty good.
But if it's like a mid-distant shot, like it's not like super far off, but it's close enough that you can see that it has eyes. They're like googly eyes.
Yes.
I'm like, God, that's terrible. Toho is usually pretty good at avoiding like light up eyes and googly eyes and stuff like that, and like the gamer franchise. But there's one shot in particular that's just absolutely terrible. The shot where the Gotengo is shooting missiles at it, and the missiles are like exploding around it.
Oh, it's
that
awful.
Shot is
it's awful.
Absolutely terrible.
Oh.
All right, well, okay, so we don't like Manda that much.
The close-up puppet's cool, but other than that, it's bad.
So let's talk about the design of the Atragon, or Gotengo, or whatever you want to call it. The titular warship submarine. I think in concept,
it's neat.
It looks pretty cool.
But
the model they build for
it's bad.
In reality,
doesn't do it justice.
It's weird.
I like the idea of the submarine that has a drill on it, front of it, so they can drill through mountains, undersea mountains and
now,
stuff.
Now, whether
and,
the physics of all that is...
Yeah, whatever. And there. Then and it can fly. I mean, that kind of stuff is cool and cool in concept, but the model just does not pull it off.
Oh, it's bad. And the close-up shots of the model when they first use it for the first time, ooh.
It's not that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially the model is more passable when it's underwater.
Yeah.
When it's out of water.
When it looks like a toy in water.
It looks like really bad when it's out of the water, though. But I guess that's transitioning into effects. The matting is bad in this movie.
Oh, the effects. Let's just say the effects in general, overarching, they are trash.
Bad. The models, for the most part, are really bad. I will say I like...
There's one cool model, and it's in the city destruction scene.
The city
that's
where
about
they,
it.
Like, blow up the city. That model is pretty good.
Other than that, all the other models in the movie look like cardboard boxes with lights taped on them off in the distance.
They look pretty bad. I agree.
They're not terrible. That good. The matting in this movie is some of the worst I've seen in any of the movies I've watched.
I'll say one good effect, the model for the like the American submarine they have is actually pretty decent. And the effect where it's being crushed by the water pressure is a decent effect. That's the explosion that follows is a decent effect. I like that.
I will say anything that has to do with fire looks decent in this movie.
Because it's real fire.
It's real fire.
Except for the explosion of the movie Empire at the end.
Oh, it's terrible.
But yeah. Up until that point.
Other than that, matting is absolutely garbage in this movie. The model work, besides that one with the city destruction, is terrible, pretty much. And then, like, every shot, I swear to God, has, like, a freaking painting behind it. And the paintings look terrible.
And yeah, when they're freezing, the moon.
Oh, my. The people. It's terrible.
And then the explosion.
Let me
the
say,
end.
Too. They freeze this snake thing underwater. The water would freeze, too.
Okay.
It doesn't. How?
The explosion at the end, when the Mu Empire explodes, I found it hilarious because, it's their classic effect, go-to effect they do is when they pour some oils into some water, some colored oils into water, and then they flip the image upside down. Well, there's some Mu ships caught in this explosion, and the ships were supposed to be sitting on top of the water, but when it explodes, you can tell that it's like oils in water, and the ships are literally floating in the oils and water when they're supposed to be on top of the water, not under the water. It's pretty rough. And usually that effect works pretty well, but here they didn't like have the right mix of oils or something. I don't know. It looked really rough.
It did not look good.
And then they matted it against from the deck of the Katango. And yeah.
Oh God, the effects are terrible.
It was not the best. So, but the one semi bright spot, the score.
The score.
I like them. I mean, we made fun of it because it sounded like something from a Godzilla movie.
Where Akira Fukube tried to make a Godzilla score, but they told him no.
But the main title theme, probably because it's so reminiscent of something.
It's super reminiscent of a Godzilla
movie.
But
I like it. It's pretty catchy. I like it quite a bit.
Because it sounds like something from a Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
You like it because it's similar.
Yeah.
It's really the only discernible piece of music in the movie.
Other than that, yeah, I couldn't tell you.
But I like it. It's
that piece of music is good.
Yeah.
It's good.
So
I like it.
Fukube to the rescue as usual.
Looks like we're going to have a quick episode today, boys.
Might have a short episode today, which brings us to final thoughts, as always. We're going to start with Andrew.
You know it.
You know it. Well?
Well, final thoughts.
Saw it coming.
Always had to start off with the well.
Well?
Yeah.
I thought this movie was not that good of a movie, all in all.
Okay.
It was, the effects were not that good.
They're trash.
They were pretty bad.
They're trash.
The only one model was acceptably good. And the American Samurai.
Yeah, so two models.
I'm gonna give this movie a D.
A D.
A D.
Alright, you wanna go next?
Yeah. This story is terrible. It's horrendous. The dialogue is horrendous. The characters, besides one, are bad. And even the one that's halfway decent is only halfway decent. And his character's halfway decent in concept.
Yeah.
It's really edited together quite odd at times, and I don't like it. It's slow, it drags for the majority of the movie. As far as creature design goes, like we said, the close-up shots of Mando look good. Its head is really cool, its eyes and its whole head are very reminiscent of like a Chinese dragon, which is really cool, and I liked it quite a bit. The one with the distance shots, absolutely terrible. The Katango, don't buy it at all. Mm-hmm. Effects in this movie, as I've said multiple times, you've heard me say, they're trash. Absolute trash. Matting is awful. The matte paintings look terrible. The transitions of live things turning into matte paintings looks absolutely ridiculous. The models, besides the two that we've both already mentioned, absolutely terrible. So the score, the one discernible piece, like you said, of music is decent, but it's probably because it's very reminiscent of a Godzilla piece of Godzilla music, which is fine by me. It makes it fun to listen to, so I guess that's fine. But other than that, this movie's definitely getting an F.
Oh, gosh.
Oh.
If you're a fan of this movie, I want to apologize profusely. I know this movie does have its fans out there, but I
don't
gonna,
know how.
I'm going to, for the most part, agree with you guys. This, Like you said, the effects bad. I do like Captain
Jinguji.
Captain Jinguji in concept. I like I said, the idea behind his character. Unfortunately, in a movie like this, it's just not fleshed out that well. The characters overall are not that great, not that memorable. Manda, the monster that we're watching this movie for, is not in it very much, which I knew that going in. I've seen this movie before. I knew that going in, and I knew that going into the first time I watched it. That in itself is not bad, but the way they utilize Manda is pretty poor. But yeah, this, and like you said, I do like Akira Fukube's music. I mean, I can't help myself. But yeah, overall, it's boring. It just literally nothing of note happens until the last 20 minutes of the movie. And then even then, it's not that great.
This is a movie that's supposed to be a giant monster movie. And a giant monster... Well,
it's not supposed to be a giant monster movie. It's supposed to be a Toho special effects
movie. It's a Toho special effects movie. Anyway, it's a movie with a giant monster in it.
And space.
And a...
submarine thing. Undersea battleships.
It's supposed to have a submarine type thing. And neither one of them... At least, the first thing that makes an appearance is not even until halfway into the movie.
Yeah.
The thing that this movie is supposed to be about is not even in it until halfway in. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. The pacing is really, really, really bad.
At least in some of these Godzilla movies where things don't really happen, we have like a monster that at least shows up like.
I think if they would have had more time and a bigger budget, they would have had more
city destruction and probably more ship battles. Yeah. You can definitely tell from the production of this movie and the visuals alone that it had a very small budget.
Yeah.
And that the time that they had to make it was very limited.
Yeah.
It definitely shows.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's unfortunate, but I can't.
Definitely, I think had they had a bigger budget, more time to work on it, and actually write a better story. It could have been a lot better.
Could have been a lot more entertaining.
The concept behind it is interesting.
I think they have an interesting concept on their hands, but like we've said, they just did not execute it well. Mm. I'm gonna be kinder to it. I'm gonna give it a D plus. So yeah, I can't quite bring myself to give it into C range, but I'm gonna give it a D plus for the idea of it at least.
Okay.
maybe appease some avid Atragon fans who might not listen to this. So sorry if we ripped on your favorite movie.
Sorry if I ripped on your favorite movie.
Yeah. Dylan really, I'm uncultured. Like
Dylan really.
But yeah. I didn't have any news this week. I didn't see anything really.
Aaron did not get to pick up his Godzilla this week so far.
I did not go get the steelbook from Best Buy.
They were sold out on day one.
Yeah. I don't know. They probably didn't put that many out, but
they never do.
So I'm probably just gonna like go to Walmart and just buy the combo thing.
You're gonna buy the Blu-ray or the 4K?
The 4K, probably. So
there you go.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to watch it for a while because I just watched it in theaters like a couple weeks ago.
A week ago.
A couple weeks ago.
He saw it a week ago.
A couple weeks ago, when it was at the Mall Trio where all movies go to die.
It's actually where the movies just go for last chance to see them before they come out on home media.
Me and Andrew went and saw it one last time, our third time. I saw it three times. I know there's a lot of people who are like, only three times? But let's be honest with ourselves, it's not that good.
I saw it twice.
Even Dylan saw it twice. Yeah, so.
I mean, it's nothing compared to the five times I've seen Endgame.
God bless America.
I saw it four times in theaters, and I've seen it once since.
My record for theater viewings for a single movie is The Force Awakens. I saw it eight times.
I think my record is also for The Force Awakens, and I saw it seven.
You saw it seven times. Yeah.
Some people out there are like, Jesus Christ, you people have no lives. Yeah,
exactly, right? And you know what? If I like Rise of Skywalker, I'll watch it eight times.
God, if it's good, I'm watching it repeatedly.
God, I hope it's good. I don't know. There's some things I'm really... this is not a Star Wars podcast, but there's some things...
No, if you do want to know what we think about really Star Wars, though, we do have a second podcast that is a bi-weekly podcast. We review, at this point in time, it's the big movie of the week. Or the big movie of the month, and then our Star Wars series for this year. Next year, we'll be doing Christopher Nolan's filmography.
Yeah. We just recorded an episode for Empire Strikes Back. Dylan decides to edit that.
We're a little busy.
And
been moving.
We will be recording an episode for It, when not too long
from It now. Coming up here pretty quickly. It Chapter 2. Yeah, anyway, that podcast name is DNA Film Wars. It's also up on every major podcatching service that you can probably think of. So if you want to, go ahead and check that one out.
Yeah, but as far as this podcast goes, next week, we will be returning to Godzilla.
Thank God.
With Godzilla versus the Sea Monster, a.k.a. Ebra, Horror of the Deep. I like
that. That one's all right.
It's entertaining. The following week, we'll be going to Britain for a British monster movie, Gorgo.
Gorgo.
Spoiler alert, Dylan's not gonna like that one either.
No. Why do you do this to me?
Hey, if we're watching these now, we don't have to watch them later. Think of it that way.
I'm ready to get to good movies again.
We will. I forgot what it's called now. What's the stone statue?
Daimajin.
The Daimajin trilogy. Daimajin. I like it quite a bit. It'll be coming up for two of them along, I'm pretty sure. Maybe you'll like it too. But anyway, so yeah, that's what we got coming up.
If you want to, we are up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We're at Stomp This Way on all of those platforms. So make sure you give us a like or follow. Be sure to tell your friends about us if you like hearing us talk about this kind of thing.
Yep, we are also, if you have any specific
questions. We are also, yeah.
If you have any specific questions and or comments, stop making fun of me. We can be contacted at stompthisway1954@gmail.com.
And we also have a website. Andrew, why don't you go and tell us where that website is and where it can be found.
You can find it at www.stompthisway.podbean.com.
Heck yeah.
You can see our full schedule of films there.
You can also see any news that Aaron has updated with, as well as our grades on those previous films.
I just posted the link to the Amazon page where you can buy the Godzilla King of the Monsters 4K if you want.
If you want it. Yeah. You know, I actually might pick up the 2014 Godzilla and this one just to have it.
There's like a double feature thing.
Even if I have to buy them separate, I might buy them just because I'm not going to go all out and buy like every single Godzilla movie because it's not necessary because I know I'm never going to watch 3/4 of
them. You're not going to buy the $165 Criterion Collection?
Absolutely not. I mean, I could see maybe one day owning the original and then these two and then I guess the third one that's going to be coming out, Kong,
and then whatever comes out after that.
Maybe.
So, we'll see. I think the future of Godzilla is still in limbo.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how Kong versus Godzilla goes. I mean,
Legendary or Warner Brothers or whoever came out and was like, yeah, we got all these plans and we're confident in the franchise. But they might say that, but yeah, I guarantee you that the box office intake of Godzilla versus Kong will have a big impact on the future of
if that movie bombs, it's not happening.
But it doesn't matter because if that bombs and Warner Brothers decides to let their rights lapse, then Toho's is going to take it back and make more. So we're going to get Godzilla movies either way.
Godzilla moves to the friggin' end of time.
Yeah, we will. This is true. But anyway, we're rambling, so I guess we'll wrap this up. As always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Dylan, and we'll catch you in the next one.